Friends, today in the first reading, we have one of the most endearing events in the Old Testament, Moses' encounter of the burning bush. And remember, last Sunday, we had one of the most endearing events in the New Testament, the Transfiguration. And so we're really gifted with these wonderful situations where God's light and His power and His fire breaks through into our world. And it's also the second weekend in a row that we have the beautiful sun shining in to complement the whole situation. So we're exceedingly blessed. And here today we encounter another strange mystical expression of God's otherworldly love that is beguiling and frightening, yet at the same time amazing and irresistible. I was at the retreat that our RCCM had just a couple of weekends ago. I was talking about this, the burning bush. How amazing it is. And using this bush, the Lord is trying to draw us, like Moses, out of our broken lives and into His splendor. And we can't help but think of the most sacred heart of Jesus, which is really our modern-day burning bush. You have the flames coming out of the top of His heart, right? Burning out of love for each and every one of us. Yes, this heart that never ceases to burn with love for each of us, yet is never consumed, just like the burning bush. It burns eternally for each and every one of us. Christ is the great I Am who calls us out of slavery to our sins and deeper into relationship with Him. He is the new Moses whom God the Father sent to rescue us and to lead us on the final exodus to flourishing in this life and to the eternal joys in the promised land of heaven, ultimately. However, as St. Paul points out in today's second reading, this won't happen automatically. We too can end up like the ancient Israelites who followed the Lord out of Egypt but were unable to enter the promised land because they repeatedly rejected God, despite all the amazing things that He had done for them. Remember the 10 plagues with Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And then Paul talks about the cloud that led the Israelites all the way from Egypt to the promised land, led them through the Red Sea when the Red Sea was parted. Paul talks about the baptismal imagery that's going on here. And then, of course, there's the manna, the bread from heaven that the Lord fed the people with, the water from the rock. The Lord is doing all these things, and they repeatedly grumble, and they reject, and they just demand more and more from the Lord. So they can't enter the promised land. Paul teaches that we must see these things as powerful examples of what not to do. What not to do, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. We have been forewarned by this example of the Egyptians, by Paul, many places in Scripture. And we must not kid ourselves into thinking that we're somehow immune from this. Well, I don't really sin, or, you know, maybe sin isn't, it's not that big of a deal, right? Jesus is a big teddy bear, and he's a big softy, and so he just kind of magically takes everything away. And I do whatever I want. It seems to be kind of a prevalent philosophy these days. Maybe not those exact words, but we see it everywhere. Therefore, Paul says, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. In other words, we must always be aware and fighting the spiritual battle, always striving to grow in holiness and in relationship with God. We have to be in the fight, because the opposite of this is complacency, and it simply is a killer. And it can lead us to eternal death if we follow it all throughout our lives. So complacency is terrible. Jesus emphasizes these same truths in today's gospel passage as the people are discussing these tragic events that happened back in that day. You know, the Tower of Siloam fell down and killed some bystanders. And then Herod, these people were going to make sacrifice in the temple, and he killed them, and he mingled their blood along with the blood of the animals that they were sacrificing. It was commonly believed at that time that victims of disasters were terrible sinners who were being punished justly for their sins. Basically, they deserved it because of their sins, is what the thinking was. Yet, Jesus corrects this flawed thinking and insists that all people are sinners. Except for him, of course, but all people are sinners, and that all people should be focused on examining their own lives and hearts to root out sin. This is repent. Remember, he says you got to repent. Rather than looking for sin in others and resting on their own laurels. This is what leads to perishing. Jesus says, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. And he's talking about eternal perishing. He's not talking about physical death. Then he continues with a parable about a fig tree that has not produced fruit in 3 years. So the owner just simply decides to cut it down. Don't let it exhaust the soil anymore. But the gardener steps in and points out that the tree may actually bear fruit if it receives the proper care. Apparently, this tree has basically been ignored. It was bearing fruit, and the owner said, all right, great, just let it be. But the owner's just hoping for the best in perpetuity, as if it's going to do that every single year. Well, guess who the gardener is in this parable? It's not very hard to realize. It is Jesus. He's talking about himself, right? And you, then, are the owner. And your soul is the fig tree. So don't ignore your soul. Your spiritual life. Rather, make room for this gardener to come in each day and cultivate the soil of your heart so that you will bear fruit over and over and over. The Lord gives us every opportunity to grow closer to Him and farther away from our sin and darkness. So take advantage now. Don't wait. Don't push it off till later. I remember Paul's wonderful words at Ash Wednesday. He says, now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. Jesus must have come to you right now, this moment, this very moment, and every moment, but right here we're celebrating Holy Mass. Don't wait. Let Him come in. This is the path to true happiness and flourishing and to the promised land of heaven in due time. Today is responsorial. It's an excerpt from the wonderful Psalm 103, and we had almost the exact same excerpt 2 or 3 weeks ago. It wonderfully illustrates how to make this happen. A proper disposition of heart is crucial, as the psalmist teaches. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. This person clearly is deeply in love with the Lord and in awe of His mercy. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is His kindness toward those who fear Him. He redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with kindness and compassion. This is marvelous stuff. And this person, the psalmist, is a person on fire with God's love because he or she has been transformed by this fire, been touched deeply by this holy fire. And it's a beautiful sight to behold. Okay, by now, brothers and sisters, the message is pretty clear. Take the spiritual life seriously so that God is truly the very center of all aspects of your life. Don't grow complacent or indifferent. This is guaranteed to lead to misery now, and as we noted, it will eventually lead to eternal death if you follow it along to its logical conclusion. Instead, though, allow God's fire to burn within you, burning brightly, burning away everything that prevents you from growing closer to Him. The spiritual life is fundamentally centered on relationship, not on doing stuff. We have to do stuff, but relationship comes first. And this is why the three-legged stool is such an excellent guide for us. The sacraments, God pulls us into His very own relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He pulls us right into it in the sacraments. It's magnificent. And then He leads us out into a life of daily prayer where we enter more deeply. We are able to better understand what He's giving us, where He's calling us, better understand His will for us, so that we can go out and do these good works according to His will, serving our brothers and sisters. Friends, allow Lent to become a springboard for you, not a chore, not just, oh, okay, we're in Lent, so I'll give something up and I'll kind of slog through. And no, allow it to be a launching pad for you towards the Lord. That's what it's meant to be. Even if you've failed in your Lenten commitments already, or perhaps you still haven't made commitments for whatever reason, don't give up. Don't give up. Christ is right there offering you His love and His mercy. He always is, not just during Lent. So enter deeply into the Mass, the source and summit of our faith, and make at least one good confession in this holy season. Enhance your prayer life. But what I'm suggesting here is to focus on quality, not on quantity. Don't double the number of rosaries or the number of Our Fathers or whatever it might be. That might be okay, but it's all about quality. It's all about relationship. So enhance your prayer life in ways that'll allow you to grow deeper in relationship with the Lord. And pursue the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. I mentioned this briefly last week. There's 14 of each. If you just do a quick Google search, you'll see them come up. And you're probably already doing some of these. But find some of the ones you aren't doing, and then find ways that you can carry those out. In short, just say yes to Christ. And then make sure you leave any inklings of the path to eternal death behind you as you journey joyfully with Him on the path to eternal life.